chat with Nicholas. He'll listen to you. Then he'll laugh, and then he'll cry with you. It's all in a safe space for you to speak your truth. Oh, come and chat with Nick.
Hi, everyone. We've got Greg Wells with us today, an international best-selling author, speaker, and business coach. And I'm super excited to have you with us tonight, Greg.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Nicholas.
So one of the first questions I ask is, where in the world are you?
Yeah, so I live in sunny Florida in the USA. I enjoy the warm weather, and it's one of those things I ask my people nowadays is what temperature they keep the house. I'm curious, what temperature do you keep your house, Nicholas?
So I don't know how to convert it into American measurements. I think it's 7 moose heads. No, it's about 12 degrees in Oslo at the moment. So we try and keep our house at about 20 degrees, 20 to 25. I have no idea what that is in Fahrenheit, I'm afraid, but it's not warm.
Yeah, I wish there was a way to just add 40 to the number or something, right? And it would easily translate, but it doesn't work that way.
I think it's like 30 or something. So it's about 50 degrees. I've no idea, actually, but.
Yeah, 50. Well, yeah. I'm a 75. I can't keep my house 75. And the punchline to the joke is that you shouldn't date out of your temperature range. Like, I can only date about a 73 to a 76. That's my range. Or else one of us will be cold, one of us will be hot in the house all the time.
Well, the way to solve that is to have 2 duvets, 1 down duvet and 1 blanket. So that's what we
You're right. I mean, cars totally get this, right? On one side of the car these days, they let a person control their air exactly how they want it to be.
Exactly. So it's all about personalization. And I think we'll talk a bit about personalization and how important it is to understand customers as we talk through this. But I want to talk a little bit about your background. So other than living in sunny Florida, which you're a bit jealous of now as we're going into autumn here in Europe, let's talk a little bit about your background. You have worked on a book. You are a coach. You've worked with some of the biggest names in the industry. You've been on all of the big name brand television and news channels. And I've seen that you've got a whole host of social media channels. I see you've got TikTok, and we might talk a little bit about football later as well. But let's talk a bit about how you got to where you are now. So we've got time. So give us the long road.
Yeah. So I've always been a big fan of personal development, a Tony Robbins fan, and love to read all the classics in self-improvement. And so as I started my marketing career, I decided, well, why not focus in on the industries that I liked the most, which was personal development. And so that's why I built my marketing business. I built my business around my passion for personal development and self-help. And in doing so, I've gotten to work with a lot of people like Tony Robbins, Jack Canfield, a lot of the top people in the digital marketing space as well. And it's just made it a lot of fun. When you build your business around the things that you really enjoy, it becomes a lot of fun. And people always ask me, how did you get so into digital marketing? And I tell them, like, as soon as you start making good money with something, it becomes really fun. And you want to get really good at it. You want to learn everything you can about it. I wasn't a little kid who dreamed of doing online marketing, but it's something that becomes fun. And so there's a lot of things I could do that would make a lot more money, but this is something doing marketing for the personal development industry, for the coaching industry. I feel like there's this exponential effect on the world where it was when I help someone, I help someone reach their audience, they go on to serve those people. And it has this exponential effect.
Getting into coaching. Now, personal development is quite an intensive process, and it obviously takes quite an empathetic person to be able to do coaching, because you've got to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and want the best for them. So it's a really win-win situation. You want the other person to win more, basically, because you want to see the potential in them. When did your coaching career start, and what spurred that off? Did you train in coaching, or was this something that through experience, you realized you had a gift?
Yeah. So I do marketing for coaches. And so it's only in the last few years that I've evolved into doing coaching myself because we've developed our own marketing system that we'll talk about today, the Love Thy Neighbor marketing and the virtual dinner parties. But for the most part, I've always run a marketing agency where I've served coaches. But in serving coaches, you learn about how the coaching industry works. And I wound up doing a lot of coaching, right? Because if there's the thing when you work in marketing, I'm sure you know this because you work in marketing too, but it's like if a person's not getting clients or getting results, suddenly it's the marketing agency's fault, right? Bring me better leads. And if you can help that person get better with their offers, get better with their mindset. So I was doing a lot of that through my marketing agency without really being a coach. And then it just kind of has morphed into what it is now, where we do marketing and coaching for coaches.
If one looks at the industry that you're in, that's a very niche market that you're in. How did you decide that this is the niche that you're in? Was it completely from left field, or was this something that you felt, yeah, I want to, this is something I'm passionate about, let me help these guys? Because in terms of choosing a focus as a marketing agency, particularly, you can't be all things to all men. So how did you get into focusing on coaching, helping coaches generate leads and build their pipelines?
Yeah, so it goes back to my passion for personal development. And so being around people that were coaching was a great chance for me to be around the people that I really liked. I would passively learn all the things they were coaching people on. I would learn about through working with them, working in their messaging, working in their marketing. I'd get to be around coaches. So they're some of the most happy, fulfilled people in the world because they're doing what they love. And they are looking into their past experiences. All coaches, typically their past struggles and pains in life, are the very things they're now helping people with. And that also very aligns with my vision of faith, is I believe we're called to share our story and give back to the world by whatever we've been through, sharing that back with people. So it all kind of aligned very much together for me to focus in on marketing for the coaching industry.
It's very interesting you talk about the faith element. I feel that it's something that's missing in a lot of work environments, and it's that joyfulness in work. And I had a very interesting chat with one of my colleagues in terms of, I try to be joyful because I lecture in digital marketing, and I try and bring that to class, the excitement and joyfulness that I have in my work. And I want that to rub off on my students as well. And I think it's something that people are focusing on paycheck to paycheck, thinking about raises and that, but having enjoyment and joyfulness in your work, because you're not doing it for yourself, is an important thing to think about. And do you see the difference in terms of dealing with, if I can put it this way, more spiritually focused people in business?
Yeah, well, so spiritual coaches, mindset coaches, life coaches, even health coaches are a lot of my clients out. And there are people with the biggest hearts that just want to serve, but there are also often people that have little to no business fundamentals, let alone online marketing and sales experience. And that's really the system that I've started developing, the Love Thy Neighbor marketing, is designed for that person, because a lot of the gurus will tell you, you have to learn to close, you have to make offers, you have to be able to charge $10,000 or $20,000 in order to succeed in coaching. You need that. They'll tell you that's part of your own growth. You have to grow into being a shark. And they'll say things like, hey, if you believe in what you're really selling, you should be justified using any means in the world to sell it. And I hear that messaging and couldn't disagree more. Like, anytime you're saying the end will justify the means, I mean, that's the direction of tyranny. So yeah. Why would that be okay in business? It's not, by my standards. And I find a lot of the spiritual coaches you asked about, especially, Joe, it doesn't align authentically for them. It's not part of their growth to move into being that type of person. And so how do they get clients is the big problem that I'm out to solve.
So that segues into Love Thy Neighbor marketing. So why don't we go through a bit of the history of the company and the kind of services that you offer, Greg?
Yeah, so Love Thy Neighbor marketing was born out of COVID. It's a pivot that I made in my marketing agency during COVID to focus on community building and connection and listening, specifically through an event that we've designed and trademarked called a virtual dinner party. So Love Thy Neighbor marketing is the concepts, and the virtual dinner party is the vehicle that we've innovated and have had a lot of success with. We've had over 200 coaches go through the program in the last 2 years, 2.5 years now. And so a virtual dinner party event is essentially bringing people together around a topic, whatever the topic is you coach on, spiritual or podcasting, whatever your topic might be, but just to connect, just to help each other, just to talk through their problems with nothing for sale. The metaphor that I like to use a lot is that most online marketing is the equivalent of Tinder. Do they have Tinder in your countries? It's like online marketing is like, hey, we just met. You want to buy something? You want to hook up? Right. And I'm standing for kind of old fashioned values, which is really not anything new. Just, hey, let's get to know each other first. Let's go to dinner first. Let's go to a virtual dinner party and get to know each other. And part of the frame that I really teach is that you want your marketing, you want to come across that you're selective about who you work with. I don't pursue anyone, and I don't make offers to everyone. You have to audition for me. And that's part of what we're doing in these virtual dinner party events.
And I suppose that helps your filter out those less valuable leads as well. The guys who are coming to your dinner party, the potential of them becoming a paying customer is exponentially higher than if you just send an email saying, hi, yes, the webinar is happening on Wednesday. Please join us.
Yeah, exactly. For a lot of reasons, right? So continuing with the example of podcasting, since we're on your podcast here, my client Jeff helps people launch their podcast, right? So his virtual dinner party would be an invitation to people that want to grow or start a podcast. So anyone that comes to that is very interested in that topic. They're wanting to come to a 2-hour event. People always ask me, why don't you do a shorter version of your virtual dinner party, Greg? I would love to pop in and check it out. And my response is, well, we're trying to weed out people like you that just want to pop in and check it out. I want the people that are serious about podcasting, in this example, or spiritual growth, if that's what the coach does, right? We weed those people in and give them an amazing experience. And when you're not selling anything, people really open up. They will really talk to you about what their struggles are. And that's part of the magic of the virtual dinner party as well, creating this safe place for people to be able to talk about what they really need help with related to what it is you coach people on.
So it's really soft selling. And I agree with you. I think sometimes it's just trying to squeeze. People can see when you're trying to squeeze value out of them. And I think this shows that you are willing to give a little before they commit. And I think especially in the era that we're living in now, people are being let down by people left, right, and center. So this gives them a very sort of soft landing into your products. I think it's a fantastic concept, Greg.
Yeah, a little bit of delayed gratification goes a long way these days, as you said, with everything else like trying to get you to buy as soon as they met you.
So I had a very nice question I wanted to ask you here, and it ties into the virtual dinner party. We see everyone going onto social media, everyone using Google, everyone, not that many people using Bing, but a lot of people using social media and social digital channels to drive all their sales without that interpersonal touch. This, I feel, the virtual dinner party sort of bridges that gap, because we are seeing that anyone and their dog can now open a Google advertising account. Anyone can have a great website. Anyone can have, you know, go onto Fiverr and go and get somebody to run a Pinterest account or things like that. How important do you think it is for people to have this personal interaction with people versus just trying to wait for leads to come into your website?
Yeah, I feel it's the not just the future of marketing, but it's the future of community. Because the more technology happens, the more social media and AI become accessible to everyone, that divides us, that gets us out of our houses less, in the community with each other less. And so people are craving that. Even an introvert, I'm actually a natural introvert, but all humans crave connection and intimacy. And there's less and less and less of that in the world. And so if you can be the person that offers that to your community, to your niche, you're standing out in a unique way, and you are providing tremendous value that no one else is willing to do. And I'll tell you, a lot of my peers in some of the masterminds and friends run webinars, and they say, Greg, you're hanging out with people for 2 or 3 hours? Like, I don't want to do that. Like that sounds really inefficient. How's that going to scale? And not everything is about scaling. Not everything is about automating. It's about connecting, serving, and it's so purposeful to really know your people and create and lead a community where people are known. One of my taglines is I'm building a community where when you don't show up to our events, what's your client, like we're going to notice and reach out. And that appeals to a certain segment of the world. By all means, there's a certain segment of the world that I'm great and you're not, right? I think that makes up probably 50% of the population that this model does not appeal to. But for the rest of us, what I'm innovating and, you know, talking about for the first time, really, because it's really been 2 years of proving this and doing this. I'm just starting to do interviews on this. But what I'm innovating is a set of tools and marketing strategies that can work for the heart-centered coach.
I see you're talking about groups and communities. I see you've got about 5,500 people on your Facebook group. That's quite a significant number for most groups. Maybe talk us through that group and how people could get involved in that.
Yeah, so this group's only about 2 years old and it's grown organically, no ads to over 5,000 people. I think we're at 5,500 now, like you said. We can put the link in the show notes. It's a long name, but it's Connecting Coaches is the main name. It's Connecting Coaches with Vetted Marketers. And the concept of this Facebook group is that coaches can have a safe place to come to learn about marketing strategies and learn what their next best step is. And then we're vetting the marketing agencies, marketing coaches can also come to this community. But we vet them if they want to be a recommended expert. The ones that we vetted, we allow them to live stream in the group, and so it's a community connect right now. And I think this is really the model that I teach. If you follow my teachings and our content, you want to build something like this for your people. Most Facebook groups, most social media are one to many. It's about you communicating with your people. But the definition of a tribe, which is way more valuable than a list or even a social media, a tribe is people, a community where they interact with each other. So we've built that interaction into our community, into our Facebook group. And then we have these events. We have these virtual dinner parties where everyone can meet each other and trade ideas with each other. And it creates opportunities for everyone that's in our community in this virtual dinner party. People will be landing clients and partners and friendships. There's value on so many levels for everyone that's participating in our community.
Well, I'm definitely going to sign up, and I will put that link in the show notes as well. I want to go back to the virtual dinner party and some of the benefits that I can see it offer. And lead generation obviously is the key thing. And I've made this mistake, and I'm sure a lot of other listeners have made this mistake as well, where you look at impressions on Google and YouTube and so on, and wow, I've got tens of thousands of impressions, but one sale, two sales, etc. Talk to me about your thinking around lead generation and how your services are aiming at changing way people think about lead generation, perhaps.
Yeah. So with regards to lead generation, I go back to the Tinder versus dating metaphor that we stand for. And I'd actually love to get your take on this for the podcasting industry, because podcasting is very similar to what you were describing. Someone who maybe has a social media or a Google following. You have this following, but you don't really know who your listeners are. You don't really have a good way to communicate with them outside of the platform. You don't really know what they need help with. There really is no community around most podcasts. And it's the same problem for people in social media. They maybe have a following. They haven't really built a community. And that's what the virtual dinner party is designed to do. Most people go from either podcast or social media to go to my website where you can buy things, right? That's a big leap to take. And it's these things work because it's a numbers game. If you get 10,000 people, one person or 10 or 100 might come buy something, but that's still very inefficient. And that's the void that we're filling with virtual dinner party style events, with communities like we're building, because the virtual dinner parties is just one of the style of events. So imagine this. This is what I would love to get your take on and see how this could work for the podcasting interview. And I'll tell you something. It's another reason I've always turned down podcast interviews up until the past couple of months. And I'll tell you why. The reason why is there's an opportunity cost to my time to coming to do something, right? And if I'm going to take 30 or 60 minutes to go do something, I need to be able to justify what are the results of that. And in the podcasting world, it's very intangible. There's no for sure that any listeners are going to come from anything you do in marketing, right? And the odds, all we're going to do at the end is give out my website. And maybe somebody comes to my website and reaches out to me, but that's putting the whole burden onto the listener. So the virtual dinner party is the potential solution to that. Imagine at the end of your show, you say to people, look, Mr. and Mrs. Lister, clearly you like this show because you're here listening a bit. How'd you like to continue the conversation with me and Greg and come back to our virtual dinner party? I'd love to meet you, Mr. and Mrs. Lister. I'd love to learn more about how I can serve you, what else you'd like to see on the podcast. Those are the kinds of things we're going to be talking about in the virtual dinner party. So it's a natural next step in the podcasting industry, just like so far it's been in the social media industry. That's exactly how we teach using this to social media, to YouTubers and to Facebook. And so it fits this. And for me, as your guest who's interviewing, I feel if you had a vehicle, if you had a virtual dinner party plugged into your podcast, it now becomes so much more valuable. Because you can approach me and say, Greg, I'd like to have you on my show. And after the show, I'm going to invite my listeners back to a virtual dinner party and you can meet some of them. In fact, you're going to meet the ones that heard your show and liked what you were talking about. Well, that's super valuable for me, right? I only one out of every three people I talk to loves what I'm saying and winds up becoming a client, a $5,000 or $10,000 client with me. So I only need to meet three people and now it's like well worth my time. So if in the podcasting industry, if you gave me a way to meet the people that liked what we talked about, it would be so much more valuable for me. What do you think about how that could fit?
Well, while you were talking earlier about it, I was thinking, gosh, that would be quite a good idea to have this as a marketing add-on or a value add to the listeners. Because as you said, I want to know who's listening to my podcast. The whole point of this podcast is to help entrepreneurs, students, and brand managers and marketing directors improve their understanding of digital marketing and hear from some of the best people in the world. And I was thinking, imagine I could get all of my podcast hosts into a virtual dinner party. We get, because a lot of our chats, as I mentioned to you before we started the call, a lot of my chats after the podcast are way better than the podcast, because the podcast has set questions. It is a set process. We don't know each other very well or at all. So we're still trying to find a little bit of a rhythm in terms of speaking and how we engage with each other. Whereas the virtual dinner party, there's no expectation from either side to sell something or to come across as knowing, because it's very, as you might know, being a speaker, there's a lot of pressure being put on you as the person who's got to ask the questions, it's got to be the face, etc. So that, I think, is softened when one does a virtual dinner event. So I can absolutely see the potential. It's a bit of a chicken and egg though, as growing businesses. So those who want to do something like this, your listenership or the amount of people who want to engage in the early stages is relatively low. So that is, for me, I'm trying to think, okay, what are the ways that I can engage my audience more? one audience member, and I've seen this with my audience, one audience member shares it with three or four or five of their friends. So we're slowly starting to get a nice rolling mass of people listening to us, but we're doing it at quite a leisurely pace, and we're still filtering out the kinks and so on in the podcast. Yeah. But I think your concept, and I would rather speak to 50 people who are engaged than have 100,000 people who get no value, because the whole point is I want everyone who engages or meets with me to be better than when they came in. That's basically my philosophy when it in teaching and in business as a whole.
Yeah. I mean, I love your passion to serve your listeners, the entrepreneurs that follow you. And like you said, building up your listing, the people that are in community with you are going to be the people that are spreading the message about the podcast. So the idea you're giving me is that for people starting a podcast and building their listening, maybe they could use a virtual dinner party and invite your Facebook friends, for example, or leads from your social media to this virtual dinner party, and then they discover your podcast, right? Yeah. So you could use this as a stepping stone to accelerating your audience as well.
Well, not everyone has time necessarily to listen to a half an hour or 45-minute podcast. And I think if you give them an option of saying, here's another opportunity for you to engage with not just one podcaster, but with a whole range of them or a whole range of guests and get a smorgasbord of all of the tidbits of all the best bits. I think that would be very exciting, as well as giving a value add back to the listener. So versus just the podcasts are just one way. And I know Spotify has quizzes and all sorts of questions you can ask, but nobody does those. This gives you an opportunity to talk to your heroes, talk to your people that you want to associate with.
Yeah. Because I mean, your listeners look up to you. And so for them to get to meet you and all the guests you've had on the show, I think that would be super valuable. And another way I look at this is I used to do these 20 or 30 minute get to know you calls, right? When someone comes into my world, we just hop on Zoom and get to know each other. And in one virtual dinner party event, we might have 20 to 40 people there, right? So let's be conservative. Let's say we have 20 people there. If I was to do 30 minute get to know you calls with 20 people, that would take me 10 hours plus the time of setting them all up. Instead, in 1 2-hour event, I get to know everyone. Everyone gets to know me, and they all get to know each other. So there's this extreme exponential value for everyone. With you at the center of influence, you're the one who's connecting everyone, bringing everyone together in a very humble way, because there's no teaching in a virtual dinner party. And it's not a networking event. I stand against networking because that's usually people doing their 1 minute commercials, pitching everyone. That tends to attract a certain kind of person and turn off a certain kind of person. It's like, I hate networking events. But we want to appeal to people that love people and want to help people and want to get help. And that's what we're doing. And the other layer to the virtual dinner party, we haven't even gotten into you as the host yet, but it's really designed for you to discover what does each person need help with specific to what I do. Because when you're not selling anything, people will openly talk about this. So just to give you an example, let's go back to my client, Jeff, who helps people launch their podcast. One of his first breakout rooms in virtual dinner parties, they're heavily using breakout rooms in groups of three. The topic would be with regards to growing your podcast, where are you the most stuck right now? Now, if you directly ask that someone, and that's what you do, their guard goes up because, oh, I can smell that question coming, right? You're asking me that, so you could try to sell me some coaching or services to help me with that. And they don't reveal what they really need help with. And you wind up getting these surface level objections. Oh, sounds cool. I can't afford it. Instead, in the virtual dinner party, that would be our first topic. So with regards to growing your podcast, where are you the most stuck right now? You're going to go into groups of three with your peers and discuss this. So the coach who's hosting it, who's the podcast coach, is not present in those breakout rooms. People talk about it with each other, and now they can really be vulnerable. There's no recording in Zoom breakouts. They can really be open about it. And then what happens is we reconverge in the main room, and we start to ask people to share what was talk what they want to share from their breakout rooms. And almost everyone, once they've talked about it once there, they'll now share for the sake of the group. But in the meanwhile, you're there listening. You're there listening and you'll hear, okay, person A, they're struggling with the tech and launching their podcast. Person B has a podcast, but no listeners. They need marketing help. And at the end of the event, which is usually on a Thursday, you don't solve anyone's problems, right? And you let them sit in their problem, but they've gained clarity about their problem. And when you don't sell anything, the goodwill just seeps in. They're like, you can't believe you did all this and you brought us all together and you're not selling. I love you. And then simply on Monday, you reach back out and say, remember when you said you were struggling with the tech? That's the kind of thing I help people with. Would you want to have a call about how I can help you? And a large percentage of people will move forward with wanting to get help for that problem. So that's how this, an example of how this would unfold.
Well, that process is one that I know that works. So I would be happy to be a guinea pig once we've got a bit more critical mass and we can get some good numbers for you and then promote that to some of our other podcast guests as well, because it's about building community. And I just want to take it back to lead generation again, which is basically what this is. You don't need 10,000 leads. You need, as you said, 3 leads to generate $10,000 each. And a lot of people forget that. They're running after leads, but they're not going after people who really need their product or quality leads. And I think in this era where, and I've seen it with a lot of digital marketing folks, is they don't know where people are coming from to buy their products. Is it from Google? Is it from emails? Is it from Twitter? It doesn't really matter. Once you've got that person face to face, all of those other barriers or that other information is irrelevant. So getting to that point, I think, is important. And that's what the virtual dinner party does. So I'd be very, very keen to try something.
Yeah, and just another note on lead generation, because you work in marketing too. So I'm sure you hear this about bring me better leads, quality lead. And here's the real honest truth. There's not a single person that has ever woken up in the morning and said, today's the day I need to go hire a coach, or today's the day I need to go hire a marketing agent. It does not work like that. No one wakes up like that. And if you think that that's my job to go find you those people, that doesn't exist. What happens is your marketing and your events in our virtual dinner party, for example, can create clients, because people do wake up every day with problems that they're sick of. And so, but they don't want to get sold something, right? So if you invite them to a webinar, invite them to a sales call, and they're very hesitant to that. But instead, you invite them to a virtual dinner party or some sort of event where they can talk about their problems and realize they're not alone and gain clarity about what their problem really is. And then you're creating clients instead of finding clients through your marketing. That's really what our events are about, creating clients.
Greg, I suppose one of the questions you might get is, how expensive are these things? And we won't go into pricing or anything like that. But in your experience, how many of your customers know their customer lifetime value?
How many, and I work mostly with coaches now. So how many coaches know their lifetime value? I already said most coaches don't have a lot of business fundamentals. I would say not only do they not know their lifetime value of a customer, but they often don't have anything besides their primary offer to coach someone. And they're not doing things to create recurring revenue and repeat business and really even have a lifetime value of a customer. But the bigger picture to this in your question, which it's a really good question, is you got to be in this for the long game. It takes time. Relationships are both people making deposits and nurturing and being in this for the long game and showing your people that you're showing up for a virtual dinner party or call it whatever you want. A lot of my clients rebrand the names of these things, but use our frameworks. But an event where you're showing up every month just serving and not selling goes a long way over the long term to really nurture and build relationships. And they're fun. These are the most fun events I've ever had. They're not exhausting where, like, when I run my challenge, like, I'm teaching all day long in that event. A virtual dinner party event, it's like I'm just introducing and you guys go into breakout rooms and I get a little break and We come back to some music and everyone is inspired. Everyone shares some of their expertise and everyone gets value.
I want to take it on a different track quickly. I'm a big admirer of Tony Robbins, and obviously a lot of his thinking is quite different to the mainstream. How has he impacted your thinking or meeting with him and Jack Canfield? How have these other coaches helped coach you become better at what you do? And if I can ask, one or two lessons perhaps that you've learned from them that you've used in your life and business? Because lots of people think there are people who love Tony Robbins and there are those who hate him. How has he impacted, this is not a Tony Robbins ad, but how has he impacted your life or your business? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm a big admirer of Tony Robbins. It was a great honor to get to speak as part of his business mastery program and to get to meet him through that. And there are so many lessons that I feel he learns. But the one that's probably impacted me the most, I was at an event in Fiji with only about 100 people. And Tony's leading this, and it was a business training. And as we're sitting there, Tony's wife, Sage, who's become more and more of a visible person, she wasn't really back. She comes and starts to, they have this basket full of like protein bar snacks. She comes and starts to pass out the snacks to everyone. And I see this and I jump up and I'm like, oh my God, Sage, let me take that and do that. Like, you don't need to do that. And she looked me dead in the eyes and said, Greg, it is an honor for me to serve you, those that are here. And that like really hit me. Like, wow, like she really means that. And how can I take that and apply that to my clients and my life and really just be willing to be there, to be in it with people? And so that's probably the lesson that impacted me the most. Another quick short story on Tony Robbins is I've been such a big fan that I first took my daughter to see Tony Robbins when she was 12. We went to his firewalk seminar and it was fun jumping all around. And then I took her back again around 18 and she said something to me really interesting. She said, Dad, I know that you love Tony Robbins, right? But he's about like powering through things in life. And I want to love my way through life. And it's like, wow, like that really showed me that Tony Robbins may not be for everyone. He may not be your guy, but that doesn't mean he's bad or people that follow him are all bad. There's just different ways that we all want to get to where we're going. And we've gone on to find some people. I don't know if you've heard of Kyle Cease, we found who she really took to his style of kind of meditating and loving her way through life. And it's the same stuff they're teaching it, but it's just different styles that are going to work for different people. And I take that back lesson back into my working with coaches and tell them, like, you put your authentic style out there. You can literally be teaching most of the same stuff Tony teaches because they all do, but just put your style into it and you're going to attract your people to you. Put your authentic self into your marketing and don't be scared about talking politics or religion. If those are your things, like, I don't know anything about politics, so I don't talk that. But I used to think my old school dad, I love my dad, said, don't talk about religion in business. But nowadays with social media and authenticity where it is, like that's part of who I am. So I'm going to put that out there as part of what I do. I'm not preaching about it. I don't put it in, you know, people's faces, but I also don't hide it anymore for the sake of business.
Yeah. Well, those are some great stories, and I think some very good insights into the way you work and also how Tony Robbins works. COVID impacted everyone's businesses, and you obviously pivoted towards the virtual dinner party. What's next for Greg Wells? Hopefully, God willing, we don't have another COVID outbreak or something awful like that. But what's next for you? What is the what exciting things have you got lined up for the next year or two?
Yeah, well, I mean, out of every tragedy, there's always a blessing. And literally the virtual dinner party and this whole Love Thy Neighbor marketing movement and work that I've been doing since then came out of COVID. because that year my daughter had gone off to college and I was single and we were all in lockdowns and I was literally going out of my mind. Like I just didn't have anyone to talk to about online marketing and coaching. I had my clients and I had a church group that met on Zoom, this awesome men's group, but like they didn't get my world. Like they weren't going to understand the things that I was talking about. And so out of COVID, I started running these virtual dinner parties originally just because I needed people to talk to. And sure enough, CERTN showed that everyone else needed people to talk to and they loved coming to this. So out of that is born a lot of good things. So my philosophy is that life is like a movie and a video. And if you stop a movie or a video at any one point and take a picture of it, it might look really bad. When COVID came out, it looked really bad and a lot of bad things happened. But if you play the movie all the way to the end, we know how the story ends in life. And so I am excited about Love Thy Neighbor Marketing, about us being more than just a marketing way to get coaches, but a movement and a community, and to empower coaches to bring community, to bring loving your people into your tribe and into your niches. That's the mission that I'm on. And that would be my invitation to anyone who's listening that might want to come along for that fun ride.
Well, Greg, I love your positivity. I love your passion. And I obviously you're talking about how all of these things grow over the long term. This is not an overnight success type thing. Overnight successes happen over 5 years, 10 years. So I know you're in it for the long haul, and I look forward to joining a virtual dinner as well one day. So thanks so much for joining us today. And yeah, we'll see you on a virtual dinner real soon.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Virtualdinnerparty.com is our domain. It's a great story how I got that domain recently, but we'll save that for another day. And yeah, I look forward to doing more and more things with you, Nicholas.
Cool. So I'm just going to repeat that. It's virtualdinnerparty.com. And that's the way folks can get in touch with you.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Greg.
Come chat with Nicholas. He'll listen to you. Then he'll laugh and then he'll cry with you. It's all in a safe space for you to speak your truth.